Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Was Speaker Pelosi's trip to Taiwan that controversial, or was China just looking for a reason?
Well, I think we gave China a little bit of an opening here because, first of all, the White House or someone in the administration, we don't know for sure if it's the White House, leaked the fact that she was traveling to Taiwan. Normally those visits are kind of done in secret, like a president going to Afghanistan or Iraq, and then you don't know about it till they land. So that was leaked. And then the Chinese, seeing a possibility of a huge propaganda victory here, spun this thing up rather dramatically. I mean, they knew about it back in April and didn't do much about it. I think some of this has to do with the National Party Congress, which is due in several weeks to enshrine President Xi for his third term and likely an indefinite term. So they seized upon this, and certainly the rhetoric was literally off the charts. I mean, threatening war and everything else. And I actually think that there was a possibility that Pelosi would stand down. It didn't stand down, and now we have a very calculated overreaction on China's part to further isolate Taiwan, obviously intimidate them, but also to play to the audience at home to demonstrate, while Pelosi didn't stand down, we're taking some action here.
So that's the biggest story happened while we were on vacation, and we are back live today on this August 8th, and the United States is not at war with China yet.
That was a pretty damn good description by the general, General Jack Keane there.
Yeah, the only problem I have with it is kind of acting like them spinning up a non-event not being as much a threat as anything else. You can go to war over a spun-up event. People do it all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was his point to downplay it. I just, the at least double, if not triple or quadruple reverse of the thing is what really interests me. So normally, if anybody wants to go to Taiwan, any American, I say go. And if China squawks, screw them. Who cares? They're communist dictator, slave camp running scum. I don't care what they think.
Nancy Pelosi said it herself. We can't allow China to dictate where the Speaker of the House goes and doesn't go. I agree 100%.
Right. Here's your reverse. International politics international politics are an expression of a country's domestic politics. And if Chairman Xi is desperate for some way to say, we're under threat, we're under threat, you gotta stick with me. Look at the U.S., look how belligerent they are. You gotta stick with me. You gotta make me dictator for life. I totally get the Biden administration or others thinking, don't give them fuel. Don't hand them let's act like little lambs for the next couple of months. Nothing but friendly noises to undermine that narrative. So, you know, that's a defensible position. But here's the triple reverse. Old Chairman Xi is not going to just say, well, they didn't do anything belligerent, so I guess I got to, I don't know, I can't appeal to an outside threat. No, he'd manufacture something anyway. So ultimately, I think Nancy Gowen was harmless. He was going to find one pretext or another to get all belligerent.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The whole international policy is a reflection of domestic policy. Sometimes it's just a reflection of one dude's wants. You know, mostly it's Putin himself who wants to go down as Peter the Great. I don't think the people were calling out for a war with Ukraine. Anyway, who knows what Xi thinks in terms of wanting to be the next Mao or reestablish China as the dominant power on the planet, how important that is to him personally. I don't know. But, man, the rhetoric coming out of China over this trip, I mean, that was like, It really was like the way they talk in the Middle East. Other countries don't usually talk like they do in the Middle East, where they're constantly threatening the mother of all wars and right, blood running in the streets. You don't usually get that out of nuclear powers, but that's the way China was talking the last week or so. You mess with a tiger and you will get bitten and various crap, you know, whatever. But the reality in the ground, though, firing missiles over Taipei and their so-called military, their live fire military exercises that have in effect closed off the Taiwan Strait and all the international traffic through there while the exercises are going on, and they have extended the exercises. So at what point does it go from being a military exercise to just you've closed off a major shipping lane? I don't know how many days that goes on.
Right, right. Well, and it's been described accurately as a dress rehearsal for surrounding and cutting off Taiwan.
Right. And it didn't get reported enough that Nancy went and landed, and there was talk of, will they try to shoot her plane out of the sky and blah, 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 and they're not going to do that. But we flexed our muscles, too. We sent the USS Reagan and a couple of other ships down there. We sent our craziest aircraft carrier right next to Taiwan with a couple of other ships loaded with F-35s, the most advanced fighter jets in the world, ready to, you know, you want to go to war? We're ready. We're right here. We're right. You know, you just say the word. I mean, that was a very strong response from the U.S. Navy, you know, I'm sure ordered by President Biden. To let them know, okay, we're ready to go. We ain't messing around either. You ain't messing around, we ain't messing around. Right. It's not good to have China and the United States getting that chest-to-chest in the bar. But
yeah,
that's
no
where
kidding.
We are.
Yeah, we sent the entire carrier battle group. How many ships is that? Can somebody look that up? I don't know. But one of the more interesting aspects of reading Michael Pillsbury's book, The 100-Year Marathon, about China, and actually some stuff I've read recently about Russia, that whole the golden billion, I think, doctrine, which says that there are a billion people on Earth who control everything, and they're trying to screw Russia, and we got to fight them and get what's ours, is both those countries have a cultural feeling that's not far off like American exceptionalism. That China believes China should sit astride the globe as the great power. I mean, they believe it culturally. And Russia, in a weird kind of inferiority complex way, feels something similar. But, yeah, to your question of is it just Chairman Xi who thinks this stuff or China, you know, in general, I think, culturally speaking, the Chinese people really want to be another peg or two up.
Right. And so the culture of both countries has changed quite a bit over just recent years. I remember Henry Kissinger, geez, a decade or so ago, talking about the Thucydidean trap. I have trouble saying this name. Thucydides. There he goes. All right.
Wow. Well done. Did I get the
initials in the right way? Anyway, he was a general in the war, the Peloponnesian War, and he wrote the history of the Peloponnesian War, and he came up with his theory of, and it is proven to be true over the centuries, that a rising power and the established power always go to war. And that has always happened every time except, or I think, once over the last several thousand years. And we are the established power and they are the rising power. And what happens is, what happened with Athens and Sparta, 400 BC, is you've got the established Athens, Sparta's on the rise, and Athens gets worried about him. So fear sets in, and it's just human nature. You're just fearful, and you start creating in your own mind threats and worries that may or may not exist, and it just grows. And I remember Henry Kissinger saying, when he was talking about the Thucydidean trap a decade or so ago, the important thing is that our country's populations don't come to see each other as the enemy. And at that time, the vast majority of the United States did not see China as the enemy. And I don't know about China versus the U.S., but I'm guessing probably similar. That, as you know, has changed completely. And for good reason. But it has changed completely. If you look at the polls, we've gone from something like 20% of the U.S. population a decade ago seeing China as an enemy to something like 80% of the U.S. population seeing China as an enemy. And I think it's similar in China. So the two countries' populations have come to see each other as an enemy.
Yeah, the interesting part of that, though, and what Kissinger, I think, was missing, maybe because he was one of the architects of the whole opening China era in the early 70s, is that the Chinese leadership always viewed the U.S. as the enemy.
Absolutely.
In a way that our leadership did not. I mean, certainly you got to keep an eye on China, and they're a superpower, but I think we're going to be buddies. I think if we open trade, we'll be good friends. That was the doctrine for decades in this country, and it was naive and dopey.
Yeah, I think it's just getting to the what you were talking about, the international relations being a reflection of the domestic politics. Once the domestic politics gets ginned up to where both populations see that other country as an enemy, well, then it's on. It's just a matter of time, which it may be just a matter of time. Maybe it is the Thucydidean trap, and it's just a matter of time before the up-and-coming power of China and the United States have to clash in some fashion. The question, I think, is always going to be how they view war versus the way we view war. We have a very low tolerance, as we see in Afghanistan, for losing soldiers and you know, blood and treasure. Not to downplay this at all, because obviously I wouldn't, having a brother who served in Iraq a couple of times, but a couple thousand military deaths in Afghanistan, China would absorb that, wouldn't even bat an eye.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If they could sink one of our ships and lose 15,000 guys that afternoon, wouldn't bat an eye. I don't know how we would react to that.
Right, right. Boy, speaking of the rising power versus the big comfortable power, it's sickening from the perspective of a modern American, but rising powers have through the years been willing to throw men into battle like crazy.
Right.
I had one more point I want to make. Oh, could it be that the trillions of dollars of trade between the two countries is what's going to tap the brakes over and over again and prevent, you know, horrific war?
It's funny. My traveling companion yesterday said the very same thing. We're too interconnected commercially to go to war. But that's exactly what the world thought before World War One. There will never be another war between the great powers again because we're so interconnected business-wise. So I hope you're right. Well, maybe I'll get to this later so we don't beat you up for too long over U.S. versus China war, the coming war. Well, that's actually the title of this piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. The Coming War Over Taiwan, written by a couple of your big think tank people from AEI. With its global power at a peak and domestic problems mounting, China is likelier than ever going to make good on its threats. And maybe we'll read from that a little bit later in the show. But this is some serious, serious stuff. Like, first page of your history book, possibly, stuff for the history of the planet that I hope doesn't happen.
Final note, because we didn't get all that specific, but the Chinese sent almost 200 military aircraft and at least 40 warships to menace and surround Taiwan.
Right. Yeah. Their war games could turn into an actual invasion if that was their plan, like that. And how
would
we
remember
react?
That's what Putin said for months. It's a military exercise.
Yeah, war games. Very good point. That's exactly what Putin did. And she, everybody claims, is watching the whole Ukraine thing and learning lessons from it. And the other wild card in this is, what does she think of his timing when you got an addled old president? How quickly and forcefully would Biden be able to react to this?
Who knows? Pull out bad at healthcare.
Oh, jeez, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. True about international pressure.
Anyway, you can join us anytime on the text line, 415-295-KFTC. Much more on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
After the jury awarded the parents of two Sandy Hook victims $4 million this week rather than the $150 million they were asking for, Alex Jones called it a victory for truth. But then the jury went back to work deciding on punitive damages meant to punish somebody for egregious behavior and came back with $45 million more. Jones being ordered to pay around $50 million in total. His team says it will appeal. In court, Jones admitted, despite his years of claims, that he now believes the Sandy Hook shooting was 100% real.
He always believed it was real. So you're going to have to, as somebody who almost went to law school, explain to me what's happening here. Because Alex Jones does his radio show, podcast show, whatever it is, spoken word show, and claiming the worst school shooting in the history of the world was phony. And the parents get to sue. Why in a world with free speech? And so one of the 6-year-old boys who died, just horrible, horrible, horrible. Anyway, the parents got $4.1 million. Somebody thought, oh, that's a lot of money, but not as much as I thought. Then the next day they come back with $45.2 million for a kid, as you heard there, for a total of about $50 million.
Yeah, I don't have the division in front of me. I mean, there's like material damages and then punitive damages. You can punish somebody by making them pay extra.
But just for a simple clarification, because I don't completely understand this, how come I can't? I thought I could go on the air and say John F. Kennedy wasn't assassinated. He's alive and in Belgium with Hitler.
Sure.
Can I say that? And can somebody sue me? Or
no, absolutely not. Jones. And it's not just him in like a podcast. He has an empire. He has other people who have shows and video casts and the rest of it. He was claiming repeatedly and at length, though he has now changed his tune, that the shooting in Sandy Hook, which was 10 years ago, was staged with actors to increase gun control, to take away your rights, and that these people who claim to be grieving parents are actually crisis actors. They're fakes. They're frauds. They're part of the plot to take away your rights. So these poor parents who had their children slaughtered in cold blood are now being besieged by lunatics who not only go after them online, call them, they show up at their house, they show up at their place of work a lot and screech, your child didn't die, you're a liar, you're a crisis actor. This Alex Jones, who I believe is a monster, an amoral monster, set his army of lunatics against these people and made their lives miserable. They were already miserable. Their children had been murdered. And then he, because the lunatic fringe loves this sort of thing, he set the mob loose on them. That's what he's in trouble for.
Did he specifically tell him to do that, or is it just his rhetoric made crazy people do crazy things? I mean, I guess it gets to the whole, is Trump responsible for the mob going inside the Capitol thing? I guess it's the same sort of question.
Well, he named names. He attacked individuals, as this one law professor I was reading said. That's important. A lot of disinformation does not attack individuals, like your JFK with Hitler in Belgium scenario, gotcha. As entertaining as it was.
No, it is. It is clearly it's distasteful as anything I can possibly imagine on Earth. It just was not clear to me where the law was on that.
Yeah, and the fact that he knew it was false and defamatory, but went ahead and said it.
Wow, what a thing to do. And to continue it when you're getting the reaction from the crazies, to continue it all those years. Wow, that is something. If you missed an hour of the show, get the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This week, WNBA star Brittany Griner joining the list of U.S. citizens detained in Russia after she was sentenced to 9 years in a prison camp by a Moscow court, found guilty of drug possession and smuggling. Griner's lawyers saying she'll appeal, but that could take months. The Kremlin using her case to play hardball in negotiations about potential prisoner swaps.
That's a long time in a Russian prison, 9 years. Obviously, Putin's just hoping to trade for somebody. So we're going to give them back some terrible, murderous terrorist who's killed a whole bunch of Americans in exchange for a WNBA player who had weed.
Yeah, it's a guy's an arms dealer, notorious arms dealer, the merchant of death. Yeah, interesting and a good lead into what I was going to talk about, which is bi-coastal lawlessness. But we got this email from old friend of the Armstrong and Getty Show, Kemper, who says, guys, this is not a rhetorical question. Should the U.S. Government or the people care that Griner breaks the law and is arrested, convicted, and sentenced if some other narcissistic American drives drunk in an Islamic country, runs over a camel and 3 children? Should we empty Gitmo in exchange for his release? Then he mentions another case, but he gets to a 250-year-old quote that I either had never heard or I'd forgotten about. George Saville, the Marquis of Halifax, who could forget him, said, "Men are not hanged for stealing horses, but that horses may not be stolen." Now, that's a bit of a rhetorical flourish. His point is, we don't hang people because they stole a horse. Exactly.
You need
we
to die.
Not because they need to die. We hang them so nobody wants to steal a horse. Which is a really interesting way to look at it.
And that applies here?
Well, he said letting Griner serve her term might prevent 100,000 other American ingrates from flushing Korans hiking across enemy nations or stealing banners in North Korea. We shouldn't arrange the release of illegal arms merchants because Griner was careless.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting case. My counterargument would be she made a very, very small mistake, which was spun into a giant mistake by the murderous Putin for the purposes of getting his buddy, the arms dealer, released. Well, so, I mean, how small a mistake do we let go? Or, you know, I mean, if Jack goes to Paris, Paris is a bad example. Jack goes to Beijing, fascinating country, China. He jaywalks. And Chairman Xi realizes he's an incredibly famous and popular co-host of a radio show slash podcast and sentences him to 50 years for jaywalking.
Come on, China!
I mean, you can't say, well, you know what? You got to let him rot in that Chinese jail. That'll keep other Americans from jaywalking. I don't buy it.
How about the, we don't negotiate on this? That's, didn't we learn right before we went on vacation from one of our correspondents? Like, Great Britain doesn't do that. Sorry, we're not trading anybody. With the idea being that if we'll bend over backwards to get people out, it encourages countries to snatch up Americans because you're going to get something for it. Now, former New Mexico Governor Richardson, who is our hostage negotiator guy, was on one of the shows yesterday, said there's no statistics that back that up, by the way. He said there's no evidence that that has happened ever, that more countries are snatching Americans because we're more willing to give up. I don't know if that's true or not.
You know, I can't disagree with him. On the other hand, how exactly would you compile those statistics?
I don't know.
Number of Americans taken into custody by malign regimes per year?
Make obvious sense that if you know you can get a whole bunch from any, like, especially famous American, it'd be worth snatching them?
Yes.
As China or Russia or whoever? North Korea?
Intuitively, it does. It does. Anyway, that was all kind of, excuse me, a quick update. It's a good thing we have what we call a cough button in the radio studio, as I, Joe, feel great, having gotten over the COVID a week ago. But apparently I'm going to sound sniffly and have this nagging cough for the rest of my life. So it beats the COVID fog, or what do you call it? With the your brain don't work right? Because my brain seems to be fine. I mean, by my standards. But yeah, the blowing my nose and sniffling and coughing thing, just constant. Anyway, so the reason I really like this quote about men are not hanged for stealing horses, but that horses may not be stolen, meaning the point is you want to stop that behavior. You don't want that behavior. Brings me to a couple of stories, one from Manhattan. Here's this gal runs a well-thought-of restaurant in Greenwich Village, and they have these, like, you remember back when COVID started and outdoor dining was a big thing, and they would, like, close off the parking lane and the little tents would go up, and it saved a lot of restaurants. Anyway, they have a lot of this in New York, and they have these little sheds now for outdoor dining with a roof over them. And so this gal, her specific problem is people keep having sex in the shed or shooting up in there or whatever. And she calls the cops, and the cops, she says it's the shed has been a lifeline, but she's had to call the cops multiple times to report people in the shed, quote, who are probably high, taking up the space, leaving human S everywhere. And the NYPD won't do anything. The cops ask her, are the vagrants currently a danger to you? And she says, no, not really. She says, well, our hands are tied. There's really nothing we can do. So people are pooping in there, shooting up in there, having sex in there. That's right, Johnny. And the cops won't even show up. Now, it's kind of, you think, well, all right, they're having sex. Well, wait a minute. You're a private property owner. You call the cops and say, somebody has just had sex and taken a poo in my private property and they're still there. And the cops say, so what? That's lawlessness.
So when you led with having sex in there, and I was picturing kind of it's like, you know, people having sex on the 50-yard line of the high school football field. It's kind of just a naughty, fun thing to do. You're meaning the more disgusting kind of sex, most likely. If it's including shooting up and pooping, it's, you know, it's not that sexy. Yeah,
it's not like a glamorous high-dollar porn production, no. No, it's disgusting. This gal who works at the restaurant said, restaurants aren't the reason people are S-ing on the streets. They S right there in front of that house, pointing to a pile of human feces that had been covered by a napkin. Just unbelievable. And the cops say, we can't help you. Let's cross the fruited plain to San Francisco. A Tenderloin jazz bar owner blasted the cops and city officials for failing to protect his business following an overnight break-in, leaving the property unsecured while thieves cycled through for several more hours. Police and fire crews who responded to the initial burglary early Tuesday taped a plastic shade to the frame of the shattered glass door, left after 20 minutes. They didn't and wouldn't return for the rest of the night. People were going in and out, breaking things, stealing everything they could grab, and ignoring the calls for help. It's just, it's lawlessness. We've permitted lawlessness. And so what have we got? More lawlessness. So horses are being stolen all over the place, and now peaceful, law-abiding people are it's chaos.
Mm.
It's crazy. The backlash has 100% begun on this stuff. 100%. I just read an interesting thing that the politics of Silicon Valley, kind of below the surface, are swinging way right of where they've been. But man, how many more people have to be victimized before the pendulum swings back?
I saw this headline. The New York Post has been doing a great job of looking into repeat offenders to make the very point you're making.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this one. Meet the shoplifter with 101 arrests. And he's been let go almost every time. A guy, he's their number one recidivist for the NYPD. Ex-con who hasn't spent very much time behind bars, 101 arrests, and almost always just immediately let go again.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. That is incredible. That is that means all you're doing is like minorly inconveniencing me with paperwork.
You know, getting back to the San Francisco Jazz Club story, because there's some more detail to it, and I'm sorry I highlighted this poorly, but here's the thing. So there's the initial break-in. The cops show up. Firefighters show up. They and word gets around that it's easy enough to get in this building. And so for the next 6 hours, carloads of thieves took turns pulling up to the space, walking out of the club's front door with arms full of musical instruments, cash register drawers, and liquor bottles. And this restaurant owner's like, okay, what am I going to do? Stand here with a gun and shoot people or fight them all or what? Hello, help, cops, please come back. And they just wouldn't. I don't know what to tell you. Vote. Vote with your votes and vote with your feet.
So I was running around L.A. quite a bit over the weekend doing a variety of things over the last week of vacation. By the way, gained 5 pounds in 1 week on vacation.
Well done. I can
so,
respect that.
So if I kept that up for a year, I'd gain, 260 pounds, which would put me at damn near 500 pounds. So, I guess it's a good thing I can't go on vacation for a whole year. I'd be a 500-pounder. Anyway, I'd run around L.A., and as everybody in the country knows, there's a lot of areas of L.A. where the homeless situation is just crazy. I mean, it's just
it's been claimed by some that Los Angeles is crumbling.
Los Angeles crumbling.
You can't believe it's even true. Like, as we're running around trying to find out, we went to the La Brea Tar Pits, took my son there, which I had wanted to go to since I first heard about them when I was, like, in second grade, and I finally got to go. All these years later. And it was every bit as cool as I thought it would be in second grade. You know, the tar pits are still there, right in the middle of Los Angeles? They're still there. I mean, if they weren't fenced off, you'd still have beasts coming down to get a drink of water and getting their feet stuck in the tar and dying right there, as thousands and thousands of animals did. And that's why there's so many mastodon bones and everything like that. Anyway, the number of homeless people you see on the streets and the camps and everything like that was shocking. I've got a question for those of you who might know, because I want to know the answer. I'm going to dedicate some time to trying to figure this out this week with research and phone calls and talking to people. I was in the Pasadena area over the last couple of days. I'd never spent any time in Pasadena. Beautiful place, but it's just miles from the filth, and Pasadena is sparkling clean. I mean, walking down alleys where there's not so much as a paper cup, let alone human beings and poo and urine. I mean, there's zero trash in the alleys. When's the last time you walked through an alley at night in California? First of all, not fearing for your life, but second of all, where there weren't human beings everywhere and it smelled like urine and garbage. It was spotless. It was like it was a movie set. And I thought, what is going on here? What are the policy? What is the enforcement mechanism in Pasadena that is different from right over there, from Santa Monica or Venice or whatever?
You know my saying, if you just smell urine, you're in luck, especially on the West Coast. One of our beloved listeners sent us an email just as we were going on vacation last night. It was an article about their part of North Carolina. It was like in that Research Triangle, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, about skyrocketing housing prices and rents and that sort of thing, which is really tough for young people around the country. And I sympathize. I have three kids in their 20s. But attached to this article was our beloved listener's comment was, there are no bum camps. There are none. Not one. There are zero junkie camps, in spite of the very, very high housing prices.
Pasadena is insanely expensive. It's one of the most expensive places in America.
The rent is too damn high.
So, listen, the super high rents and housing prices are an issue in particularly the blue areas of the country. I don't deny that. But to draw a direct line between high rents and giant camps full of people tweaking all day and pooing on the sidewalks is a lie.
If you know why Pasadena has got zero bums and garbage, and right over there they got, it's nothing but, let me know. I'd love to know. Text line is 415-295-KFTC, 415-295-KFTC. We were talking about China and all that sort of stuff and how Biden would react. He just made a statement on it. We can hit you with that, among other things, on the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Chris, I apologize to you. My behavior was unacceptable, and I'm here whenever you're ready to talk.
That's Will Smith, who apparently while we were on vacation did a long video for the first time really apologizing to Chris Rock for smacking him at the Oscars. And I don't know, is it on anybody's mind? Not on mine, but
No.
It was a weird thing to do.
Not real timely either.
No, he'll never be looked at the same by practically anybody. So what are you going to do?
Although he won a giant award that night and was cheered loudly by his peers in freaking Hollywood.
Yeah.
Cesspool.
Good point. Elon Musk has challenged the Twitter CEO to a public debate, which is kind of entertaining. I don't know if that'll happen or not. I'm running through a variety of things here, by the way, that I've just come across. Oh, I have the Joe Biden responding on China versus the United States. Joe Biden asked today, because it's the first time Joe Biden's left the White House in quite a few weeks, because if you missed this while we were on vacation, he tested positive for COVID again last week.
Coronavirus!
Has happened sometime, but then he tested negative enough times that he could leave the White House, and he's somewhere today touting the Build Back Inflation plan, or whatever that is called. And he was asked about China versus the United States and the tensions, and he said he's concerned but not worried about China's drills near Taiwan.
Well, I'm worried, but I'm not afraid. I'm afraid, but not terrified. I'm terrified, but not apoplectic.
I'm pensive, but not ruminating. North Korea has offered Russia 100,000 volunteers to aid in the war against Ukraine, which Putin might say, why don't you keep your starving, poorly equipped soldiers there, and I'll do my best.
Wow, what an odd gesture by little fathead.
Did you hear this? It was so freaking hot everywhere I was over the last week or so.
Hot was it?
My son and I went dirt bike riding in Nevada, a couple of different places that were just flipping awesome. But God, it was hot. 103 degrees. Riding dirt bikes out there in the flat out desert.
Oof.
Up and down hills.
I assume you were somewhat geared up?
Had a helmet on, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank God I don't live in a lot of European countries. Spain announced new energy restrictions for public and commercial buildings, including a ban of air conditioning set below 80. It's against the law to set your air conditioning below 80. Restrictions took effect last week. Greece and Italy announced similar measures last month. I didn't know that. You can't set the AC below 80. 80 is way too hot for me. I will take a third job and sell bone marrow before I will ever set my air conditioning bill above 80 degrees. Yes,
maybe
Michael.
You ought to consider dropping with you, Jack, on this one.
Maybe drop a couple of pounds, pork chop, huh?
That is too damn warm.
Boy, that's warm. You keep your house colder than I do, but that's too hot. Especially for sleeping. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I was in a hotel, you know, a couple of nights where I'm not paying the bill, and I kept it cold in there.
Nice.
Stayed in a really nice hotel the other night doing something fancy, but when my son and I were on it, we went kind of with the budget thing, and we're in little mountain towns near the dirt bike track and everything like that. I tweeted this out. I stayed in a motel. Which I'm a motel guy. It's funny. I stayed at this super fancy place in Pasadena over the weekend, and I have such imposter syndrome. I feel like walking around a place that I'm paying for. Paying for this. I still feel like everybody can look at me and say, he doesn't belong here. He really should not be on these grounds.
That man there, over there, did he wander in or what?
I do not have my imposter syndrome when I'm at the motel where Sam and I stayed after dirt biking all day long, that it had up on the marquee color TV. That's one of the things it said. It advertises a place to stay. How long has it been since you saw a motel that tried to lure you into the rooms with color TV? As I tweeted out, we're going to be up late tonight watching all of our favorite shows in color.
Wow. Wow. Good times. All right. So here's the dividing line for me. Were the walls painted cinder blocks, or did they go ahead and spring for the sheetrock?
I don't recall.
Judy and I checked into a hotel. It was a couple of years ago. We were on a trip. We were just too tired to get all the way home. And we check in, and the walls were painted cinder blocks. And I thought, this is a different level.
If all I need is to sleep, I don't want bugs, and I don't want to get robbed. Other than that, if all I'm doing is sleeping and then getting my car again in the morning, I don't care.
How about hair in the bed?
Clean is a
clean. You said clean. That's a good point.
I don't want bugs and hair.
Well, and all you're looking for your kids at school is a teacher in the classroom, right? And not a college kid or a trainee. There is a catastrophic teacher shortage. We'll tell you about it. If you missed the segment, grab the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.